Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C-Squared. Now, on our podcast, we interview musicians and other industry professionals to give you an inside look on how to take your music to the next level.
Hello, you are listening to the C-Squared podcast with me, Holly, and Curtis. That's right, we're back again. And today we have another wonderful guest. It is Nico from Metal Underground, and he's also a member of the metal band Massara. So thank you so much for coming on today.
Hey, no problem.
So for anyone who perhaps hasn't really heard about you before, doesn't really know what you do, could you maybe give us like a bit of a nutshell version?
Nutshell. Yeah, that's probably pretty much it. Right now, I'm a journalist for Metal Underground, also a photographer for them. I've done journalism for V13 and also Sludge Lord. But right now, the focus has been for the past, 5 years, Metal Underground. I also play in a doom metal band in Phoenix, Arizona called Massara. We released an album last year, and we're right now in the middle of recording our latest album, should be released sometime this summer. And then on the side, I also do photography, which is Greek Bastard Photos, which where you can find me on Instagram.
Cool. So now my question is to ask you how you began writing for Metal Underground. And I know the story, but for our listener, how did you begin writing for Metal Underground?
Well, at the time I was looking for, a bigger venue to do photography and my writing. At the time I wasn't getting it with so much with the other blogs I was doing it for, and I wanted a bigger platform. And I reached out to you actually, and you suggested Metal Underground. And here we are today, fast forward 5 years later, minus two for pandemic, so.
Yeah. There's actually a second part to the question. Holly, I should let you know that I was the one that introed into Metal Underground. I'm sorry. But anyways, prior to that, you were also writing for V13 and the Sludge Lord, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But there's a second part to this question, which is, what are mistakes you see from bands or artists seeking coverage from you?
Okay, this is going to be a bag of a can of worms, actually. But a lot of what I see are bands that really aren't ready to do that next step yet. When they're just out of the gate and they there's no problem wanting recognition and more people to catch on to your brand and your music and your craft, but you have to be ready for it. And some of these bands are just not ready for it. I look at, they just kind of look at a checklist and they go by and they check all these boxes and like, oh, PR. Yes, we need PR, but we don't know what we're doing. We don't know what we're PRing. And their sound's going to evolve and change over the next few years if they stick together that long, so much that they're not going to be the same band. And also, I look at them and I listen to them. It's like, they're not ready. This band is not ready to push it. It's good for people like, your company, your brand, it's income. But at the same time, some of these bands are just not ready for it yet. They need to wait and let their music kind of breathe, and they need to mature as a band before they take these next steps, because it's all for naught, mostly.
Yeah, I agree. There's some companies that will just take absolutely anything and they'll just like slop it out there, and I don't know how they really do it. But how do you think a band can know that they're ready for it? Just in general, PR, putting it out, everything.
That's really up to every band. But if you're asking me, which you are, I would say that when you gain that following and you notice that you're like, you know what, we got such a local following here and we have people like asking us about, hey, when are you going to tour this city and when are you going to tour that city and why aren't you guys over here on this label and vice versa. When they start getting those type of requests, I think it's about time at that point. You need to branch out. You need that little push. That's when you need the PR.
I agree. Holly, I have no more follow-ups on that one.
Cool. I will move on to the next question then. So, I mean, this kind of follows on a little bit from what we've just been saying, but what would you say are maybe the more challenging aspects of being a music journalist?
Well, I would say I'm going to just go back my own personal experience in the last 2 years. There was basically nothing until like the last 6 months. A lot of bands weren't putting out music. They were holding on to their albums. They were holding on to their tours. They weren't doing anything, and they couldn't get tours put together. So there weren't shows either. So there was a lot of just sitting, waiting for everything to start getting rolling. And now that I swear the past 3 months, it's all at once. There's so many tours and there's so many opportunities for journalists, and albums are dropping weekly that you're, then some are just getting thrown under the rug because there's just so many on top of each other right now. So to me, that was my biggest challenge. And it was like something that was recent, you know, it had to do with what happened in the world these past few years. Other than that, I guess the other thing is like when you've got stuff and because there's so much coming at you at one time, and you know, most of us have like, you know, families, careers, significant others. And when this happens, you know, you're trying to balance all this stuff in a short, period of time and really compact space, you know? So that's the biggest challenge for me. And I think probably if you ask any other music journalists right now, it's probably the same way. There's a local photographer I'm really good friends with. I've been friends with for years. I've shot with him. And this guy is shooting like a show every freaking night. He's got to be exhausted. He doesn't act like he's exhausted. He loves it to death. But I look at, you know, like, I'm over here tonight and I'm over here tonight. It's like, dude, how are you doing this? You're killing yourself. I mean, that's how much there is right now. It's great. It's a windfall. I'm not complaining, but it's a lot to balance, you know, and especially you've got a lot going on in your personal background and your personal life, you know?
Yeah, there are a lot of shows going on right now. Like, I know in Toronto last week, there was something like 4 major shows or 5 shows. I think I can't even remember anymore. And the one I went to was packed on a Monday night. It was sold out. I think it was like 2,500 people or something like that. So
I went to Monolord here locally. And again, that show sold out. I mean, it's not a huge bar to begin with, but before pre-pandemic, that place wasn't selling out for like bigger bands, like their status, like a Monolord status. Before this one sold out. I came in there, it was like sardines. And as a photographer, you know, and there's no photo pit, it's like, oh boy, this is gonna be fun. So
that's kind of surprising, especially for a band of that size, because like you said, they're probably not quite B level, they're probably more like C level. But I mean, they're not small, yeah. But I mean, they're, you know, that is kind of surprising.
Yep.
What was the next question here? I kind of lost track of what I was gonna say. So the next question is, are there any changes in general in the journalism space, quote unquote journalism, or specifically metal underground that have occurred during your time writing?
Absolutely nothing changed with metal underground. That's one reason I do like it. There's not a lot of movement. There's not a lot of change. You don't have to keep up with stuff. It's kind of like been business as usual the whole time. There's only a few of us actually on staff. I think there's like 5 of us. And we all know our kind of parts and our places, and we just go about it every day and, you know, help each other out when needed. So that, you know, Metal Underground stayed pretty consistent. I mean, we need a facelift, but other than that, it's a very consistent metal blog. You have, you know, like I said, I do probably the most of the original content, and the other guys are constantly posting news updates nonstop.
Yeah.
And then Oliver, he does pretty much 99% of the interviews on there as well. And he's been just nailing it over the past, I don't know, year. You know, even during the pandemic, he was still nailing it because people were stuck at home. So it made sense for him doing all these interviews all the time.
Yeah. And he's not doing them. Cool. I had a follow-up on that. So what are some of the perks of writing for a site like this? Because, I mean, obviously, I don't think you get paid on it. If you do, that's fine, but
I mean, let's rewind to like the movie Almost Famous. Do you remember that movie? Okay. What were his perks? He did get paid some money, but same thing.
I don't even remember. It's been like 20 years since I've seen that film. All I remember is him going on a bus with the fucking band. So,
well, I don't know what they do, what they play for you guys in Canada, but I know over here that movie's on probably at least once a week on some cable network channel all the time. So
don't watch TV. This is me. I'm in front of a computer all day doing press releases and talking to Holly and Corey and Lindsay. So, I mean, that's all I do.
Okay. But anyway. So anyways, the perks for that kid, and it's the same way. I still feel like a kid. I get music for free, and I get to go into shows for free, and sometimes festivals for free. You know, those are the perks. I don't get paid any money for it, but those, you know, to me, that's good enough. It's a nice, even trade-off, you know? And probably when they stop doing that, if they ever stop doing that sort of trade-off, I don't know if I would continue doing it, you know, because I, you know, what I do, it's enough to get paid for, but you know, I'm totally happy with the trade-off.
Yeah. I mean, cause you're still getting festival tickets or you're getting whatever. So, I mean, it does probably add up over time anyway. So it's money you're not spending. Holly, did you have a follow-up on that before we move on to the next question?
No, I think we covered quite a lot of that one.
Cool. I just thought of one.
Oh, go on.
Right here. So now you said you cover shows sometimes, you go to festivals, blah, 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 you get the fancy metal underground credentials, whatever. Fancy. So what is the strangest thing you've had happen to you in the photo pit or as a journalist at covering one of these shows or festivals? Strangest, and most memorable, I guess.
I'm going to go with the first thing that came to my mind. I don't know if I call it strange. I just call it like, oh, this is part of this is what goes along with this territory for this band. So a few years ago, I was shooting Wu-Tang here in Phoenix, and I was in their photo pit, and I was the only photographer there that night. I don't know. No one got the memo that they were playing, but I was in there, and it was the first time I actually shot Wu-Tang. And I remember it clearly as, I think this is at the end of the tour for the US, North American tour, whatever. And they're flying back to Sweden the next day. So I'm waiting there, and it's, you know, it's just, you're waiting for the calm, the intro music's going on. And before the band started walking out, as the crowd started cheering, I could smell them before I fucking heard them. Their leathers were so rank that I could smell them. They were biting my nose. I was like, holy shit. I said, those leathers are, they don't wash them on tour apparently, or they don't clean them or whatever they do, freshen them up. But they were so fucking bad. Oh God. And I knew everybody in the front fucking row could smell that too. I was like, oh, this is gonna be a fun show. So they get started, right? And Wu-Tang is very ritualistic at their shows. There's a point where they throw blood, you know, into the crowd. Well, I think they've gotten away from throwing the animal blood, tossing into the crowd. And the crowd knows it's coming. They expect it. They want to be covered in this blood. But for whatever reason, and I think maybe they were told, like, stop throwing it so far in the crowd due to Americans, you know, maybe suing, whatever. I don't know the reason. But they kind of dumped it into the photo pit right where I was. So there's this big fucking puddle of like blood right there. And I had to walk through it the whole time. And I had boots on. Thank God I had like actually real leather boots, you know, real thick soles and everything that night. But I remember coming home and like I said, I was like, I got to get these fucking boots off because they're just covered in blood. So and my fucking dog comes up and it's just like all over my fucking like, no, get away. And like, I got to go outside, take the damn boots off, spray them off because my dog was like, oh, what is this? You know, I got to smell this fucking, what is this animal you're bringing in here? But yeah, it was probably the most memorable time. I mean, there's been some memorable moments that always sticks out in my mind. It's like that was a what the fuck night.
That's amazing. Okay, I think I'm good on this question. Holly, take it away.
I wasn't expecting that. anyway, moving on. So obviously, you're a member of the band Massara, as we mentioned earlier. Being a musician and being able to write about other bands' releases and things from that perspective, do you find it quite helpful with your writing?
I don't know if I would use the word helpful, but actually, I mean, like, because I am a musician, I've been a musician since my teens. When I write, it's from a musician's perspective. So I'm not listening, you know, like I listen with different ears. So I guess it helps me in that way. When I do a review, I do it from a musician's ear. I don't do it from like, I never picked up an instrument in my life. I'm doing it from how I know, how the band goes, how probably the process they did to get to that, you know, how they created that product and how much work it took. So maybe in that regard. I'm not sure if that was the how you were going with that question, but
no, it's interesting because different people say different things. So I'm always kind of interested to see what different perspectives are on this thing, because some people seem to find it helpful writing from a musician's perspective, whereas some people seem to find that almost unhelpful, because then you start analyzing it almost in a way.
That's true, and I do analyze some stuff, you know. I try to be positive for the most part, but if a band has, you know, like sometimes I have to be critical, and the criticism is what I think we lack, and especially today, criticism was a lot different from when I was starting out to what it is right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the way people handle criticism, man, I've been told I suck, you know, I'm horrible, I should burn my guitar, all that shit growing up. You say that to someone now, you know what the backlash is coming. Everybody does. So, but it was different from when I was growing up. You took it in stride. It inspired you. It lit a fire in you under your ass to get better. I don't know what they do now when somebody does that. They crawl and they go away and they put it online for everybody to join on their side and say, you were mean to me. That's the way it is right now. It wasn't like that back then.
Yeah. So I was going to take that and move that a little bit forward, since that was our last question anyways. But so how does Nico react with a bad review for Mosera or Twin Giant, which I know we've had a few bad ones in our time. So how does he react, knowing as a journalist that everybody's going to have an opinion?
You take it in stride. You don't get butthurt about it. You look at it. You kind of look at the source too, you know, and the source is probably the most important. You know, if it's someone you really respect, you know, you take it in stride. You take your licks, I guess. And you learn from it, you know. But if you're convicted in the way you do things, you know, you just improve on what you did. That's all.
Well, what would be an example of a good source that you would say for a review versus one that isn't, just so that way people get an idea of what you're talking about?
Well, I mean, a source, like, say if you're getting a review from like some guy that's just started his fanzine down in his basement sort of thing. And he only like, this actually happened in Twin Giant, I remember. And it was Blood Feud, the last album we did. And there was some guy that did all fucking death metal or black metal or something like that. And he called our stuff trash. And they're like, well, of course you think our shit is trash, because we're not the genre that you're used to having, you know?
Yeah.
So I think he said it was like slow and boring. And I go, yeah, I mean, if you put like some sort of stoner metal against like black metal or death metal, it's going to be boring to you, you know, especially that's what you're consuming the whole time.
Of course. No, that's a very, very good point. Holly, do you have any follow-ups for Nico? We're running short on time because I have a hard stop at 12:30.
I think I'm all good at my end. I feel like we've covered quite a lot.
Cool. So Nico, give us some words of wisdom before we end off, and then Holly will do her new outro, which she has to figure out before then.
All right. Well, this is for you people that are stuck up there where it's still cold, and out here we can wear shorts already. Don't eat the yellow snow.
Perfect. Holly, end us off.
I don't know. Everyone should drink more tea. Tea is better than coffee. Yeah.
Okay. And the pod.
I'm going to go.
Oh, better yet. This is my favorite, one of my favorite coffee cups.
Oh, nice.
Okay, I'm going to end the podcast.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C Squared.